T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Our efforts so far this year, I mean, I thought even Friday night, I thought we played a really good hockey game and we were rewarded with 2 points. But, you know, I'm pretty happy with the way that our team's trending right now, and I think we can clean up some things. And obviously, you know, the more we play, the more we build chemistry as a group. We got some new faces and some new bodies there, and I think the 5-on-5 scoring will start to come more. And as a group, I think we're happy with our game. You know, I know the results haven't necessarily been there in terms of wins and losses, but we think we're trending in the right direction in terms of establishing an identity as a group.
Sabres playing tonight against the Rangers, and we are going right to the Western Hotline. If you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get to your calls, but we'll go to the Western Hotline, and it's our regular Tuesday morning appearance with Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger. It is brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth, and by Equitable Advisors, take the next step for your financial future today. Ralph, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Hope you're doing the same.
All good. Ready to go.
Injury update, let's get it out of the way. It's, I think, a fairly short list. I think I've only got to ask you about Carter Hutton, right?
Yes, Carter is good to go. He'll be practicing normal with us this morning, and we're integrating him back into the group. So we're pleased at the way that injury is gone. And, yeah, we continue to work hard. Our medical team's done an excellent job, and our fitness group, to keep the soft tissues healthy. And you know, we're back at a full squad, so it's a nice group to look at. Other than Gergensen's, of course, we've got everybody ready to go.
Being mindful of the schedule, the soft tissues, the health of your players, how have you, if you've had to adjust? I know you've mentioned taxi squad, and we'll get to that in terms of guys getting maybe a break from playing every now and then. Are you doing anything differently in terms of practice time? Intense practices or any of that stuff to be mindful of potential injuries and soft tissue stuff?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we're permanently monitoring the group for physical or psychological fatigue. It's a re-entry into a season that we've never, ever experienced, any of us. So we need to be very close to it and monitor it on a daily basis. But you do reduce your time on the ice, still looking for the quality. We do a lot more work off the ice as far as mobility and flexibility is concerned, possibly, than you would if you'd had a full preseason with 6 to 7 exhibition games. And I think the guys, you know, I feel the guys are doing a really good job at monitoring and managing their bodies. And, you know, the minds are also being tested. You know, we had a lot of games, as an example, against Washington in a short period of time. And, you know, we're just not used to a lot of these things. But you learn about yourself and some of this new adversity, and we like the way the group has been reacting thus far.
You mentioned the psychological side. I'm curious, Ralph, you had an interesting comment after the second game in Washington about last year some players had checked out mentally with too much of a load. What are the warning signs when you're watching guys? Is it in the game? Is it in practice? When you think, okay, it might be break time for this player?
Well, primarily it shows up in the execution of the principles. You could see when the group is fresh and coming right out of training camp, even this year without exhibition games, there was a real commitment to the principles. And when a player gets fatigued, he might drift slightly from that, and or the connectivity of the group defensively gets lost a bit. And, you know, you can see it in bits and pieces, which is to be expected. But we would like to become extremely consistent, especially defensively as a group, to be able to to give ourselves a strong chance every night. And it's been our foundation, and it is that which we work on. But you do get red flags here and there, and then you have to step in and or work with the player or the team to get the freshness back where it needs to be.
I'm curious, so you know, you can do that with goalies, you rotate your goalies. You know, you mentioned it, actually, I think you mentioned this the other day with Cousins coming out for a game. Middlestat goes in, Thompson has had some time off. Can you do this? Do you have to do this? And can you do this with defensemen too? Or is it more of a forwards goalies thing?
No, quite clearly with the defensemen, we have to stay close to it and monitor. We just really enjoyed the group of six. You know, we've got excellent defensemen sitting here training extremely hard. Matt Irwin has been a real treat to have around. He works so hard, and he'll be ready when called upon. But also, you know, with Davidson and Borgen, one left, one right, just doing everything we've asked from them on the taxi squad and giving us a real strong depth on D right now that we feel comfortable with. But the group of six have done well, and you know, all of them have had some bumps and bruises along the way here in their game. But again, you know, we expected that early in the season, and we just like the way the group works. But I'll tell you, we get up every morning, look at the roster, look at the taxi squad, and you know, just discuss the lineup, and we could do that at a D man, but at the moment they all seem to be in pretty good space.
We're with Sabres coach Ralph Krueger here on WGR. The Sabres home for the Rangers tonight. We'll have the game for you being at 6 with the pregame show. Rasmus Dahlin, wanted to ask you a little bit about him. He had a rough night Friday. He sat on the bench for an extended amount of time. He comes back and plays Sunday. How did he handle the benching, and how do you think he performed on Sunday coming back off of that rough night?
Well, I think if you look at the almost 23 minutes that he played in our last game, you have the answer. And, you know, it's all part of the development. And, you know, we don't need to be overly dramatic about minutes missed or players being left on the bench for periods of time. It's especially with a young player like that to be able to be consistent every single night at the highest level with the with the threat that Washington and Philadelphia gave us over these last six games is completely normal, and we love his reaction. He learned and he grew through the experience, and we are working to make him the best defenseman he can possibly be. And part of it is going to be that there'll be adversity for him at times, and I love the way he gathered himself and came out and played an extremely strong defensive physical game, but also added offensively. You know, our power play was firing on all cylinders again too, so Rasmus just had a really good learning experience through this past weekend.
Ralph, there's no question about his offensive skills. So what do you think he needs to do better in the defensive zone for that portion of his game?
Well, that's experience. I mean, it's a player like Rasmus spent his whole youth with the puck, so he didn't have to worry too much about the game without it. But here in the NHL with six defensemen and the speed and the power of the modern-day hockey player coming at you every day, it's something you have to learn. And only experience will actually get you to the final defensive space, whether it's learning how to read your gaps early to be able to, you know, prevent spacing that puts you on your heels, and or also just technically winning your one-on-ones, whether it's out of the corner in the D zone or a net front battle. All of this takes time, and Steve Smith is as good a teacher as I know on that side of the puck, and he's working with Rasmus daily to cement these habits. But again, he's on a great path and a super kid, and we're excited to have him in our group.
Wanted to ask you quickly about Jack Eichel. No goals still, but not for lack of trying. You know, he leads the team in shots on goal. He's had really good chances, even strengthened on the power play. Do you talk to him at all? Would you give him any advice? Or is it just, hey, just keep shooting? It'll come eventually?
I feel he broke the ice by scoring that penalty shot goal, which isn't credited as a goal in Washington. I think that needs to give him, you know, that'll give him a lot of confidence in Jack. Has been working hard. He started delayed in training camp. He had an injury just prior to Christmas, which threw him back a bit. And we're pleased with his development. The minutes he played again, you know, coming close to 24 and a half minutes on the weekend against Washington shows that he's you know, increasing his stamina day by day. So it'll come. He just has to keep working. He works so hard defensively. He plays physical. He's a competitor on the bench, on the ice, in the room, and not worried about the goals at all. And again, I believe he broke the ice by scoring that very important penalty shot goal.
Ralph, it's got to feel like that line's a little bit unlucky more than anything. There's some stats to say that the expected goals and the shots and everything, they are killing it. And yet, I think goals against might be 4-3 with that line on the ice. So is it just a matter of, you know, keep at it, you know, maybe change your socks or something just to get some better luck? Because that line really does look like at any time it's about to explode.
I agree. I mean, it's when you coach, it's in hockey, it's about scoring chances and creating them. And we grade them ABC, and that line has, you know, probably more A-grade scoring chances than any line in our division in the time they were together. So mathematics is on their side. We're happy that through the power play they've been able to have some success already, and the 5-on-5 game is close behind. And also at home, you know, you do have the advantage that you can kind of pick your matchups more. We've had 4 games on the road and only 2 at home, so it's been a little difficult to free them. They're always up against the top D and forwards defensively on the other team. And, you know, we hope here at home it'll loosen them up a bit. But what an exciting line to watch. What great entertainment. They're working hard. And, you know, the fruit will fall off the tree soon here, I'm sure.
Ralph, I guess the last thing I had for you was just, you know, it felt like the 3 points in Washington were big for numerous reasons. One, you know, you want to get some points. You had opened up with a difficult portion of the schedule, take advantage of a team that was undermanned. 2-3-1, team seems to be playing well, even though, you know, you've had, you know, the 2-3-1 record. I guess I'm looking for a general feeling after the initial stretch of games against the Flyers and Caps about how you think the team is playing at this point.
Well, we were extremely disappointed to come out with 0 points in our first 2 home games, but taking 5 of the last 8 points in 4 road games in Philadelphia, in Washington, everybody knows how we struggled on the road last year. And yes, there's no fans in the building, but you know, there is still an air in the building of being on the road. The last line change and all of that comes into play. And I thought, you know, we came out of that road trip with a pretty good record. And now here at home, these next 4 games, we want to build on it. But we're pleased where the group is at right now. You know, we'd like to have a couple points more, but they are available to us here in this homestand. And, you know, we can push ourselves back up into the upper half of the standings with a good home stretch. So, you know, we're a healthy team, which you spoke about, Touchwood. But above all, I think the mindset of the group and the spirit of the group is in a really good place. And, you know, we're looking forward to the stretch ahead. But after 6 games, overall, you know, just happy with the effort, with the principles, and you know, that's what we were looking to get in this first stretch of the season.
Well, good luck tonight against the Rangers, and as always, thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you again Tuesday.
Yeah, thank you so much, and yeah, we wish our fans watching on the screens at home lots of fun and good entertainment. Let's have an excellent homestand here.
Appreciate
thanks,
it, guys. Ralph. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. So it's a 4-game homestand that Ralph Krueger is referring to. The Rangers are here tonight and Thursday night, and then 2 matinee games on the weekend. So 1 o'clock, New Jersey's here. Lindy Ruff behind the Devils bench, of course, this season. New Jersey here Saturday at 1, and a 1 o'clock Sunday game. So, you know, no NFL playoffs. Fill the void with a little Sabres hockey both afternoons. We'll have all 4 games, of course, here on WGR. Yeah. Ralph segment, sorry, real quick, brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth, and by Equitable Advisors, take the next step for your financial future today.
The numbers on the Eichel line, the Hall line, I mean, they really, I think I saw 71% of expected goal share. Mm. If, you know, from the grade A scoring chances, where they're shooting from, where they're getting. When they're on the ice, they should be scoring 7 out of every 10 goals scored.
Yeah.
And instead, they're a minus. It's 4-3 to the opponents. So it's the kind of thing that, you know, while the Sabres have looked better overall, and, you know, banked a couple of points over the weekend. I think those three were pretty big.
Yeah,
I do. I really do think that line will have, I don't know, 2 weeks, a month, where it is so fire hot
right.
that it can carry them to I'm not about to predict a 10-game win streak again, but I think it'll get hot. At some point,
Of course it has to. I mean, there's too much talent and ability on that line for it not to get to a hot stretch, right?
Yeah, they might be at 70% of expected goal share just on flat ability without even really entirely understanding each other's chemistry, like where I like to go on the ice, where you do this. I mean, sometimes Jack can be a little bit different to play with because he carries the puck so much and he holds on to it for so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hall has looked really good. I think Sabres fans to this point have watched Taylor Hall and thought, wow, this guy actually is a premier player. He's really, really good. And having him on that line, you know, they're not going yet on the score sheet, but eventually.
There was one moment. I want to get to a call here in a second, but there was one play. It was definitely one of the games in Washington, Jeremy. I don't remember, but it made me think about developing that chemistry, like the unspoken communication. You know, we bring it up with Josh, where maybe, you know, there'll be a facial expression or just something that Diggs will do something or Beasley will do something that, because of the time they spent together, they just knew what the other guy was thinking. Jack made a pass the other day to Taylor Hall. And I think it was like a behind-the-back pass. Maybe Hall was cutting down towards the net or something. Anyway, he makes the pass, and I'm like, how the hell did he know he was going to do that? Like, it's not an obvious pass. It's an anticipatory pass. Like, you're thinking, okay, I know what – here's exactly what Taylor Hall's going to do at this moment. Or, you know, I don't know if Hall's thinking, I know what Eichel wants to do, so I'm going to get to that spot. And it was just like one of those moments where I thought, that's good. I mean, that's a good sign. I think they're learning – you know, without saying anything, where the guy likes to be or what the guy likes to do on a certain play in the offensive zone or any of that stuff. And over time, you know, the more they play together, I mean, Eichel develops chemistry with anybody. This just in, he's that good. But over time, whether it was Skinner, whether it was Reinhardt, I'm sure that's going to happen with Taylor Hall. And the more they play together, the more we're going to see those plays come. And of course, all three guys, assuming Reinhardt's still on the line, all three guys have the ability to score. It's just a matter of, I mean, Eichel's getting some great chances. It's just a matter of the puck going into the net at some point.
Who, Brayton, quick question for you. Who's in net tonight for the Rangers?
That would probably be Igor Shesterkin.
Right. Is he that young guy that everyone's impressed with?
Yeah.
Because Lundqvist gone, of course.
Didn't he start a couple of the playoff games? Or one, maybe?
Yeah, he
Lundqvist
did.
Got pulled after the first game. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking of Georgiev. Both of these guys are no, good young goalie prospects, because I see Georgiev's name mentioned in trade rumors. Mm-hmm. Is that because Shesterkin is too good?
They were talking about Shesterkin a lot last season, about a guy who they were really excited about.
Yeah,
right?
he was really good. Being a goaltender over in the KHL, he was highly scouted and everything. He played World Juniors for Russia and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And he comes over here and almost immediately in his rookie season last year, plays really well in the AHL to start and then gets the call up. And you kind of had that debate on just like, okay, who's your third goaltender in New York? Because Shesterkin's playing so well, you know, is it going to be Georgiev who's your third string, or is it going to be Lundqvist? And that was a huge reason why this offseason they bought out Lundqvist, is because they had Shesterkin as their number one, and then Georgiev is a really good number two.
We get to see Lafreniere tonight,
I was just going to say, get to look at Lafreniere tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't think he scored his first NHL goal yet. So,
they've put together some good young players, but maybe it's just going to take a little time for some of these young guys to grow.
I will say, though, about Lafreniere, though, the Sabres have a really bad habit of giving up first NHL goals to a lot of young players.
I was going
to
ask that, yeah.
Really?
And,
is there a stat on this?
No, who Jack, was it Jack Hughes? Was it
No, it wasn't Jack Hughes.
He's Nolan Patrick, like
there's been a lot of players over the past several years that have scored like their first NHL goals. And who was the one from the Rangers years ago? He scored a hat trick in his first game. I think wasn't it Derek Stepan, maybe?
I don't know.
I'll look that up real quick, but I clearly remember that.
Let me get a call before we hit our break here. James has been holding on in Syracuse. Thanks, James. Go right ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Sure.
Hey, I know the loss hurt, right, with the Bills. But if I can, I would love to inject some optimism out into the world, because I think everyone's overreacting. I think the Bills just had an amazing season, man. They lit the league on fire, sweeping their division and a Hail Mary away from sweeping the NFC West. And if you listen or read anybody, it all sounds like we are in a different league than Kansas City, which I don't think is remotely true. You know, like everyone's acting like this is the Bills in New England the last 20 years when honestly, man, we have a team that can go and run with them. Going into that NFC Championship game, we had already beaten five playoff teams and a Miami team that was scratching at the door that we blew the doors off of. You know what I mean? We get there and like, yeah, Kansas City's good. We had a game, we had three busted wide receivers, a quarterback who did not play well, and a coach that gave us his best Doug Marrone impression. I feel like we were one good game away from going to the Super Bowl, man. If everyone's acting like, oh, we got to tear down and rebuild.
Nobody is talking about tearing down, and nobody's talking about rebuilding. And people are very optimistic. But you are painting quite a rosy picture. They played the Chiefs twice and lost by double digits both times. Or was it nine the first time?
Okay, but yeah,
lost by two scores both times.
And in either game, you know, the offense didn't look good in either game, James. That's, I think, a big problem.
You're not wrong to point out that they're a very good team. I mean, now that we live in the world where we're going to talk about trying to win the Super Bowl, we've got to talk about the teams that win the Super Bowl.
James, I don't think the gap is Bills New England. There's no question. Of course not, because the Bills never had a quarterback and they had Brady. There's no way that's the gap. But I do think, I mean, me personally, I thought as the season played out, the Bills jumped over everybody else and were in the tier with Kansas City. I don't think you can put them in the tier with Kansas City, since in both games, Kansas City was the better team.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
And I think that's, so it's not, I mean, we didn't start the show today saying fire McDermott.
No.
But I think it is fair to say the gold standard is what it is, and you're still not with them.
You're not there yet. Yeah, don't confuse any of this with optimism. I'm optimistic about
man, there's a lot of people that just seem really down. It's like our team, we're awesome. Dude, we are right there.
Oh, there's a lot of optimism. I think that's a natural depression over the end of the season. And I think that's probably what you're hearing in a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think what you get to is a little bit of a, you know, I mean, that self-reflection. We're not the actual Bills. We're not the GM. But I'm anxious to hear what Brandon Bean has to say tomorrow in that Zoom call, because what he said after the Texans game was, we need to score more points.
That's right.
So what does he say after this one?
Yeah.
They scored the most points in the AFC. The question will be, how do you get by? I mean, I think he'll be asked specifically, how do you take the next step? Yeah. How do you get by the Chiefs? And, you know, as we've kind of talked about this morning, there are a lot of potential answers for that. I don't think being exactly the same as you were is one of them. You know, you're going to try and get better. Because, I mean, they're going to spend the offseason trying to get better, too.
James, thanks. 803-0550 to join us. What do the Bills need to do to get better? That's one of the things we're talking about this morning. And you can grab a line and be with us
as
well.
Thank you for the call. I mean, I think it's good every once in a while someone point out, they're like, we're not all mad about this. You know, it's fun. I think this offseason will be great. Also, correction, Alex Georgiev.
Yes.
Georgiev gets to start tonight.
Yeah, I was just about to say, thanks to Tom on Twitter for pointing it out, the Georgiev will start tonight.
Okay, there you
go. Games here on WGR, 7 o'clock face-off from the KeyBank Center, and our coverage begins at 6 o'clock with the pregame show. Grab a line. Join us this morning on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get a Chris Jones, per se, a three technique that can really rush the passer. So maybe you're getting some more penetration inside. And, you know, you thought you were going to get that from Ed Oliver, and he hasn't been that guy yet. You have to go get someone of that caliber, because right now, the way these two franchises are set up, it looks like it's going to be Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Maybe you could say a couple other AFC teams that in these next 4 or 5 years should be competing for the AFC.
Eric Wood from Bills Football Monday. If you missed the interview, it is available in our on-demand audio at WGR550.com.
A couple things on the Super Bowl and on the Bills for you here. I just thought of a comparison about McDermott's field goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
The kicked field goals there that everyone kind of had, you know, scratching their head. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, right.
It's a little bit like
Words to that effect. Maybe a little bit saltier, but you got the general sense, yeah.
It's a little bit like Allen's lateral in Houston. Like, what? What in the world? What?
Yeah, I might have sprinkled a little something in that sentence too, yeah.
So, and the reason I bring up that is, how much should I actually worry about that going forward?
Well, I don't.
Because it's not who they are.
No, right.
Was it a one-game oops?
Yes.
Okay.
I have to live there.
Okay.
Because no, honestly, and this is not just me convincing myself that it was a one game oops. By body of work, it was a one game oops. I think it was all about Kansas City. I think it was all about who they're playing, how the game was playing out, and you pointed out yesterday, sorry, the days are blending again. You pointed out yesterday, you know, maybe he was worried his offense wasn't doing much and he didn't want to try and go for it on fourth down. He wanted points of any kind. There's no way that, I mean, that's exactly opposite of how the previous 18 games were coached, basically.
Right, right.
So there's no way that was an alarming trend that will carry into the 2021 season.
And the comparison to Allen, you know, his playoff game in Houston, the roller coaster, it was a bit of a adventure. The Josh Allen experience was kind of coined that day. He didn't really do that too much in the playoffs. I mean, sure, he's still taking the bad sacks, but, you know, I guess against Kansas City, he put the ball in trouble a couple times, but it wasn't like it was in Houston where he definitely looked like he was flustered. I think that kind of he got things under control for the most part this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we're looking at them the same, then I'm with you. I don't want to think about that as something that's going to rear its ugly head. But I guess we'll find out if they ever get in a game like that again.
Well, they might actually have to think about it on opening night if they play Kansas City in week one. I mean, they're playing Kansas City again next year at some point. So this will be the latest discussion. And, hey, what's the coaching philosophy for this matchup with the Chiefs? The first game was, oh, okay, well, you didn't have the pass kill you, but they ran for 245 yards. And the second game was, well, not a lot really worked out, and all of a sudden you decided to go for field goals inside the 10-yard line. Why? So save this discussion for whatever week they play the Chiefs in the 2021 season.
Do you have any problem figuring who you're rooting for to win the Super Bowl?
Okay,
Brady or
you
Mahomes?
Know my answer, so I'm going to guess, why would I root for Brady?
Exactly.
I was wondering why you asked that question, because it's not even this again. Like, look, it's not even the if Brady promises to retire. I only worried about that when he was in the East.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays again next year, I mean, you know, if the Bills make it to the Super Bowl and they play Brady next year, I'll deal with the stress then. But no, I don't, you know, I'm not even going to do the whole if he wins and he retires, I'll let him have the win, because I don't worry about him anymore. I really don't, unless, you know, they play him. Oh, wait, they do play Tampa next season too, right?
They do play Tampa.
Anyway, no, you know, I didn't watch the trophy ceremony the other night. You know, as soon as that game was over against Kansas City, I'll give Stefon Diggs credit, I guess. I wanted no part of seeing the Lombardi Trophy given to the Chiefs. I turned the game right off. I mean, if Tampa wins on Sunday night, look, it's late anyway, and I got to get to bed. But there is no way I will ever watch another trophy ceremony involving Tom Brady.
I'm with you. Would you agree? Because I think, you know, a couple of my buddies were talking about this, about, you know, do you hate Mahomes? Will we hate Mahomes?
Oh, no, like, I do not. Like, he's too much fun to watch right
now. Not only do I not hate Patrick Mahomes, I don't think it will be possible to feel the way about him that I have and many have felt about Brady. Because Tom Brady, first off, the Bills played him twice a year.
Right.
He was two guaranteed losses. The Bills, I mean, they might not play the Chiefs every single year. They might get knocked out in the playoffs. But Tom Brady was single-handedly involved in ruining our fun for two decades.
Yeah.
Mahomes, all right, hey, you lost to him in January. You know, he is a roadblock, and I'm not saying that he'll be the most popular guy in town, but I don't think he could ever approach Brady status.
No, because they have so much. First off, the Chiefs have to start cheating. You know, they have to dominate you. Right. They'd have to dominate the Bills for 20 years. And that's not going to happen. I mean, because like you said, there's There's no guarantee you're going to play them every season. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess the Bills don't go 20 years without beating Kansas City in the playoffs. At some point, I'm going to guess they beat them somewhere down the road. And they don't, I mean, there's no Spygate, there's no Deflategate. You know, yet. Andy Reid did not cost the Bills a Super Bowl in 1990. I mean, there's so many, you know, right? There's so many things that added up, and they're in the division, and we got tired of Boston teams winning championships. You know, even if the Royals beat the Mets in the World Series a few years ago. Anyway, my point is there's so many things that New England did. Besides, I can still say, watching Mahomes is fun. He's great for the game. At some point, watching Brady being great became very annoying.
Very annoying.
I don't know if it will. It might with Kansas City, but I don't think so. That team is so entertaining to watch play that it's great. And no, there's. I don't think I would ever get to the point. Besides, Mahomes' genuineness, I'm sure, would shine through.
All right, so instant trivia, and it's Brady-based. Are you ready? Yeah. Here's your instant trivia.
No, it's okay. I mean, look, him being in the Super Bowl at 43 with a second team is an amazing story.
He's been in a lot of them. He beat the Bills an awful lot. But he never beat the Bills in the playoffs.
That's true.
The Bills are one of 13 teams. Oh. He has beaten 19 teams in the playoffs.
Oh, dear Lord.
So give me the other 12 that he has never beaten in the postseason.
Okay, some of them are – you're not – I mean, it's not – obviously, are we going NFC and AFC, the entire league?
12 teams.
Wow. All right, Cleveland.
Cleveland's correct. He's never beaten Cleveland.
Let's see, Raiders, Tuck Rule, Broncos – he would have played. We wouldn't have.
I'm sorry. No. What's the trivia again? I was taking
teams
a phone
that
call.
Brady never beat in the playoffs.
Brady has not beaten 13 teams
Chargers
in the playoffs.
He
We've
beat.
Mentioned
right.
Bills and Browns already.
AFC West is done, Brayton. He's. I already took
how about
care
the
of
Texans?
He has beaten the Texans.
Okay.
He lost to the Jets once. Did he? What about the Jets? Did he beat the Jets at some point?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He beat the Jags.
Hey,
Brayton. The Texans.
Dolphins?
Sure.
He beat the Dolphins in the playoffs?
Sure. Dolphins.
Hmm? He did not ever beat the Dolphins in the playoffs. That is correct.
Hmm.
Couldn't beat him.
Two more teams in the AFC.
Two more teams in the AFC.
He wouldn't have.
Bills, Browns, Dolphins, and these two teams Brady has never beaten.
Beat
the
Jaguars. He beat the Titans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texans.
Bengals.
I thought he beat him in a wild card game once.
Bengals is correct.
Oh, very good, Brayton.
He's never beaten the
Bengals. Good job,
sir. One more AFC team and then a handful of NFC teams, of course, that he didn't meet in the Super Bowl.
He faced the Colts, right? He faced the Colts and I know
he
in the AFC.
The Colts.
Yeah, he beat him and lost to
the Colts.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you're going to roll your eyes, guys. You got to get this one. The AFC team he never beat in the playoffs.
Pittsburgh?
No, come on. You're going to be mad when you didn't get it.
We did Jets. We did Miami. We did Bills. Baltimore. The AFC team we didn't get, we're going to be mad.
Yeah, people are enjoying this right now.
We beat the Chiefs.
Uh-huh. You're going to throw your pen.
He beat the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm. He's beaten every team in the playoffs in the AFC except the ones you mentioned.
New England.
Right.
That doesn't count.
It counts.
That does not count. Sorry. No.
All right. I'm sorry.
That's funny.
Want the NFC teams he's never beaten?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Sure.
Giants.
Yeah.
Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Bears. Vikings. Lions. I mean, a lot of bad teams here, right?
Yeah.
In the NFC, also 49ers, Cardinals, and Bucks.
I thought I saw a note today that this is the first time he got to the Super Bowl when he had to win a wild card game. Like, in New England, they never would have gotten to the Super Bowl in a year where they were playing in the wild card weekend.
That might be right.
Because, yeah, I'll check that. That sounds right. It could be, don't you think? Because there would have been years they would have lost in that wild card weekend. So I'll check that. But I thought I saw that. It's the first time he's made the Super Bowl
coming out
of the wild card weekend, having had to win that first weekend. I mean, they could have been a low division winner in the AFC, not been one of the top two division winners, had to play wild card weekend. And yeah, I think that I've got that right. I don't think he ever won wild card weekend and went to the Super Bowl. That's in the same year. So, all right. Thank you. Craig tweeted in, the Patriots, you dummies. Thank you. Thank you, Craig.
People are at least I mean, it got to be funny.
Doesn't count. All right, we've got folks on hold. Beautiful. Let us take care of a little business, and then we're going to get to everybody. 803-0550. You guys are coming up in a moment. What do the Bills need to do to get better? Well, that's one of the things we're talking about with you this morning here on WGR. Hey, let's get caught up in some calls. Thanks for hanging out with us. Alan, you're up next here on WGR. Go right ahead. Maybe. Alan, you there? All right, let's try Dan in Lancaster. Welcome, Dan. Go right ahead.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
So real quick, when you guys were talking about hating Pat Mahomes versus Brady, I hate him. I hate him. I wanted to beat him, but that's that. I wanted to talk about the defense, though. I kind of wish good luck, Leslie Frazier. I hope you get the job in Houston. I feel like our defense has only regressed under Leslie Frazier. Our offense has taken the largest steps in the NFL. Our defense, I think 3 years ago, we had one of the top defenses in the league. This year, I know we turned it on halfway through the season, but I just don't see what we should see out of that defense. And I know some of it has to come to personnel, and we lost a couple people, but I don't know. I'm wishing Leslie Frazier the best of luck in Houston, and hopefully we can find a young stud to take over that defense.
I mean,
I didn't think they regressed. They were better last year. I mean, they were really good last season. They got better. This season, they weren't as good as last year.
Has he not been here the whole time?
Yeah, he's been here. Yeah, he got here. Yeah, like, he was here from day one with McDermott.
That's what I mean. Regressed from
yeah,
what?
Right.
And it's
he thought, let's see, 3 years ago would have been then McDermott's first year. You thought their defense was really good? I thought it was very good last year. And, you know, in fact, Jeremy mentioned earlier, if you could couple last year's defense with this year's offense, you would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, to say it's regressed before McDermott and Frazier are here, it's Rex.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, and it was very horrible.
Bad, so.
It was bad.
If you're saying it's regressed from previous Frazier defenses, you might be right about that. But they've lost some pieces. You know, they've had to say goodbye, and they might have to say goodbye to Matt Milano. They're kind of, you know, you're always not necessarily rebuilding, but, you know, you've got to replace pieces and keep going. You can't just the nature of the salary cap and free agency and all that, you know, always going to have some turnover.
I thought last year, in terms of coaching, I thought last year it was a good defense, and I think they found a way to get as much production, I think, as you could out of Shaq or the proper role for Shaq. Jordan Phillips had a career year. I thought Oliver got better as the season went on. You know, Milano, under the Frazier-McDermott stewardship, has turned into an every-down linebacker. You know, I think Edmonds has had good moments. He has not played at a consistently high level, but he's had good moments. They've developed a tremendous cornerback in Trey White. I wouldn't say they regressed. As I said, I thought they were trending upward to the point where they played as one of the better defenses in the league last season. And I think more because of personnel loss and turnover up front, they took a step back this year. They were still okay, but they just weren't as great as they were in 2019. I think that's where maybe the lack of OTAs and all that other stuff with the turnover they had up front, the changes in the defensive line probably came back to haunt them, and then you get Milano's injury factoring in the course of the season. Let me squeeze in one more guy here. We'll get to Cole in Buffalo. Thanks for holding on, Cole. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
So I just wanted to make two quick points. You look at the Chiefs, and they have two game breakers on offense, and the Bills have one in Diggs. So I think they need to get another game breaker on offense. And then my second point is, on defense, they need to get another game breaker as well. When you look at the Chiefs, when they lost their first AFC championship game, they went out and they got Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark in the offseason. That kind of put them over the edge. So that's my point, and thanks for making my call.
Yep. I like the point. I like the players you mentioned.
And they got Chris Jones, too. That's a destructive force.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's about it. You know, to try and find a way over the team with the great players. You might need a couple more great players. It's Brennan Bean gets a lot of credit for going in on last year's team and adding Diggs, right? As he should. Question is, do you push it again? You know, do you push it to the center and say, let's do it again? The thing about the Diggs trade, you gave up a first-round pick, but you got a guy with enough, you know, term and years left that works as a first-round pick. Do you want to do it on somewhere on defense? You want to do it at tight end? You want to do it at right tackle? I don't know that right tackle is ever going to be credited as a game breaker, though. So, there are options. I'm really excited to hear what he has to say tomorrow about why they lost. You know, the same question from last year. What's got to change for you guys going forward?
Yeah, the question that we're asking, how do you get better in 2021? What do you need to do to be better in 2021? And I'm not sure if that'll be asked in that form. Maybe it will. But essentially, that's what we're trying to find out. Because last year, the answer was what? Score more points. You know, got to do a better job of getting more points, which they did by getting Diggs, you know, by adding a little bit more to the offensive line, by drafting Zach Moss, by drafting Gabriel Davis. So, sure, I think the answer from the GM, well, the question to the GM is, what are you still missing? What pieces do you need to add for 2021? Especially, and maybe they'll make it specifically about beating Kansas City. I don't know if they would ask it that way or not. 803-0550 to join us on this wonderful Tuesday morning. What do the Bills need to do to be better in the 2021 season? Hey, I want to share some big news for you. We got a really cool, fun trivia game we're going to be playing next week. It's Topps Big Game Trivia. And we're going to start this on Monday. You will have chances to win with us and the afternoon show. We'll be playing around 7:45 a.m. and 3:45 p.m. We ask you a trivia question. If you're the first correct caller to our contest line, you will win a $50 gift card to Topps, plus a qualifying spot in the grand prize drawing on February 5th for a chance to win $200 in food and beverage, courtesy of Topps Friendly Market's best game day deals in town.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.